Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. One of the highlights of my day. And I'm so grateful to do it with you. I prayed for you over the Thanksgiving Day holiday and remembered you. My daughter from Houston was up, and she's a little prayer warrior. She was dragging me to adoration late at night, and we were praying the chaplet. She spends an hour in prayer every day. She does a holy hour, and I remembered you every single time we went to prayer. So I would appreciate you if you do the same for me. I could certainly use your prayers. You know that. And be assured that as we come together now, there are great graces that flow. There are great opportunities for you, that God does hear prayer and that he will hear your prayer. And I know you're going through a difficult time right now. We all have different struggles, and we all have, difficulty in life. Life's a journey, and it's we make our own way to the cross, right? And then ultimately we hopefully will have a resurrection with the Lord. The Lord told Saint Faustina, she wrote in her diary once, she says, she heard these following words, and the Lord says, "I want you to be my spouse." That's what the Lord told her. And he says, "Fear pierced my soul, but I calmly continue to reflect on what that espousal would mean. However, each time fear would invade my soul, the power from on high would give me peace." And the Lord came to me. He says this. He says, "I want to give my soul, myself to souls." He says, "I want to fill them with my love. But there are few who want to accept this and all the grace that my love has intended for them." He says, "My grace is not lost, though. If the soul for whom it was intended does not accept it, another soul takes it." Now, the reason I'm telling you this, and I think this is really important, because suffering can be a real grace. The Lord may have something great, powerful, transformative for you in your crisis right now, in this moment of trial and suffering. And you can reject it. No problem. "My grace is not lost," the Lord said. "If the soul whom it was intended for does not accept it, another will take it." Maybe the Lord has a mission for you and you're saying no to it right now. Well, the Lord will give that grace to somebody else. I think about my own career here. I could have said, "Lord, I can't do this. I'm afraid. I can't do national talk radio. I don't want to." If I would have rejected it, the Lord would certainly have somebody else talking to you right now. He would give the grace that he gave me to be here with you in this particular mission. As I've said to you many times, I never wanted to do talk radio, but this is what God wanted for me. I said yes, and here I am. And today we pray. Over the weekend, I think it was the 27th of November, we had the anniversary of the Miraculous Medal. What really struck me about what St. Faustina was told by the Lord, because she was human too. She had fear, right? But she always put her trust in the Lord. She accepted the grace that he had intended for her. St. Catherine Laboure, she had this beautiful vision of the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother had, she came adorned wearing jewelry, and from these rings, she had these gemstones. Light poured forth from these from her hands, right? Remember seeing when the Fatima kids do, when Our Lady spread out her hands, light poured forth, it said the ground opened up, they saw hell. So it's a common denominator in a lot of these visions of the Mother of God. Mary was on this, what seemed like a half globe, she said, holding a golden globe in her hands, and she was offering it to heaven. And streaming from these rings on her fingers, and where she held the globe were many rays of light. And Mary, the seer asked her, St. Catherine said, I don't understand, what were those rays about? Our Lady said this. She says, "The rays symbolize the graces that she obtained for those who ask for them. However, some of the gems of the rings were dark." And Mary explained that those rays and graces were available, but did not come because no one had asked for those graces. I mean, I'm blown away by what Our Lady said to Catherine Laboure, what our Lord said to St. Faustina, and maybe what he's saying to you today, right? Ask for those graces to carry this cross. Ask for those graces to rise above your addiction to porn, or to break that addictive behavior you have, or to be faithful in your relationship. Ask God for the graces to complete the mission that he's intended to you. Maybe you're struggling in your vocation right now in religious life. Maybe you're struggling in your call to be married or single. Ask God for the graces. Those graces are there for you. And the Lord is offering graces. I often say, "Lord, make me a sponge. I want to soak up every grace. I don't want to be a rock where the graces pour off me. Give me the graces I need." And even though I may not know what they are, and maybe I don't think I want them, I know you know what's best. So let's pray for your grace today, okay? That's one of my intentions as I just was thinking about these two incidences that have always really in a special way have struck me. And let's pray for you now. Maggie's praying with me today. Always good to have her. Maggie's got a big fan base. A lot of people saying, Drew, we love Maggie praying the chaplet.
Gosh.
I sent you a few more emails over the weekend. People saying they love you. So appreciate you doing that. Anything you want to pray for, Maggie?
That's so kind. We have the best listeners in the world. We say that all the time. I know you and I we had our sights on the TVs in the studio earlier. I want to lift up the people of China.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've talked about this many times about the atrocities done to the Chinese people by their government, but it sounds like the people are starting to fight back. So I want to lift them up.
Yeah, Maggie and I, during one of the last segments, we've got a couple monitors in these studios, different news feeds coming in, and we saw a map, and on the map it was the country of China, a huge nation, right? And they showed you live video footage from the north to the south, east to the west, of people saying we're done with lockdowns, and they're protesting. Maggie, you even heard somebody say, down with communism? What were they saying?
Oh, yeah. There was a chant. And I mean, I don't know Chinese. I don't know Mandarin, but...
I do. No, I have no idea. What do you mean? You didn't study that?
No. But I saw the translation was saying, down with the CCP.
Wow.
Xi must step down.
That's a prison sentence, right?
Yeah.
And you get caught? Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. So, yeah, let's pray for China. You know, and I said this to Maggie, too, and then we'll pray. When we saw this news report during the break, I said, you know something? I just said like three words to her. I said, fruit of the consecration. Fruit of the consecration. Yeah. John Paul or Pope Francis consecrated the world. That includes China, right? To the Immaculate Heart of Mary, March 25th of this past year. I think graces are flowing. I do. I think the Ukrainian issue will come to an end. I think China, there's going to be a transformation. That's why today, as we see these apparitions in Rwanda, 40 years since those visions took place, 41 years now, Our Lady came constantly interceding. And I think there's a lot of graces for us to tap into. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
I want to pray for a friend of mine. His name's Bob. Mr. Ott, I am praying for you. He sent me such a beautiful text. The last day I was on the air here last Wednesday. And I've known him for a long time, and he was so instrumental in helping to get these messages of Our Lady's apparitions out. So, Bob, I'm praying for you and your big family. And yeah, this guy suffered a lot, but is a modern-day saint, really a wonderful man who's inspired me in many, many ways. I want to lift him up. I want to pray for you. We'll take our first call today from Roseanne, who's listening in LaGrange, Illinois. Hi, Roseanne. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have a 21-year-old daughter, only child, who is socially transitioned. She believes she's a trans man. Mm-hmm. And for my husband and I, it's devastating. And you were just talking about the internet and social media. Yeah. And we truly believe that that was what sent her down this path.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I just want her eyes to be opened and her ears to be open to the lie. It's a lie. You cannot be another gender. You cannot... physically change yourself to be that gender. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I'm sorry for what you're going through. I have no doubt that social media and so much of this technology certainly facilitates, you know, exposes your daughter to that. And you probably, if you listen to the show regularly, you probably know this, but I want to recommend a great website for you, okay? It's okay. Called sexchangeregret.com, okay? So please check it out if you haven't seen it. Sexchangeregret.com. Walt Heyer has written
it. I know all about it, yeah.
Yeah, and look, and then, you know, you've got the knowledge. You know, you've done everything you could as a parent to raise your daughter the best you can. And I want you to beat yourself up over this. But I want you to put your trust in the Lord, right? The Lord told Faustina, your duty is to trust in his mercy, and then he'll give you everything you need. And the Lord said, sometimes conversion demands sacrifice, right? But he hears this prayer of conversion. I'm going to pray for your daughter, Roseanne, and I know you're going to continue to pray for her. And just know that God's grace, it's, you know, our timeline is instant conversion. God's timeline might be a little bit longer, but let's pray. Right. Pray for the conversion of our kids. And I know, I guarantee you this, I am convinced of it. God will hear your prayers. He will hear your prayers. You know, what we want is your daughter to be in the loving embrace of our Lord ultimately. So you hang in there. You got a big cross to carry. Okay. And we're here with you.
Yeah.
We're going to pray now. And Lord, I know you're not alone. Many families, Roseanne, are going through exactly what you're going through. They've got children who are, you know, transitioning or struggling with gender identity or in same-sex relationships or whatever it may be. It may be a struggle for families and for those individuals. I know how much you love your daughter. God loves your daughter infinitely more. Infinitely more. We don't know the scope of our Lord's mercy. We just don't. And we don't pray for big enough things. Her orientation can be instantly, you know, reoriented. I mean, let's just put this in the hands of the Lord. All these impossible situations where we feel powerless and overcome by, they seem bigger than our prayers. They're not. God is bigger than them. And we're going to pray right now. Lord, I just entrust all these incredibly heavy burdens to you, these concerns, especially for parents. Pray for those struggling with their sexuality and so many of these other issues now, their addictions. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mary, listening in California, praying with us there in California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I talked to you a few months ago. My son has stage 4 esophageal cancer. His name is Thomas. After I talked to you, he had a 90% reduction in his tumor.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Praise God. That's fantastic.
Today, yes, praise God. Now, today, he had a PET scan 2 months ago, and they just did a CAT scan because they thought they saw something there. We're hoping it's just scar tissue from the radiation, so please, God, let it be. You know, that his tumor hasn't grown back.
Wow.
And I'd also like to play for the repose of the soul of my sister, Anne, who passed away on Saturday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. We will certainly pray for Anne right now and for all that you have got to go through in the days ahead. I mean, this is a tough time, especially losing a sibling. But let me just congratulate you, Mary. I am so grateful for your call as well. And we're going to entrust your son to the Lord. We're going to pray for complete healing. And if you get a chance, send me an email, Mary. Write Drew at relevantradio.com, mark at Answered Prayers, and tell me about your son, okay, and what has happened.
I will too, Drew.
I'm grateful. We're going to pray right now. Lord, I pray for those who mourn. But I rejoice in you. I pray in thanksgiving right now. The Lord said that the soul that will trust in my mercy is most fortunate because I myself take care of it. St. Faustina wrote that in Diary Entry 1223. I will take care of that soul that places its trust in me. Mary prayed, And look, I just love this. I think the Lord gives us these little gifts. This 90% shrinkage in a tumor, right? The tumor's disappearing. The X chromosome, which wasn't there, now showing up. I think God allows us just to build our faith. Builds my faith. It helps me truly believe in the power of this prayer and the importance of trust. So, Lord, I'm very grateful for these signs, for these miracles that you make visible in our day. And I pray for many more miracles for those now asking for that of you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Rosary in Black Earth, Wisconsin, we'll go to Maggie, who's also from Wisconsin, right? That's your roots. Where were you? Manitowoc? Where were you from?
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Anything you want to pray for, Meg? Anything coming in?
Well, yeah, we've got a lot of Twitter intentions. I do have a personal intention I'd like to lift up. But Joseph from Nevada is asking for prayers for Tony, a truck driver from his company who passed away recently. So I want to lift up Tony and Joseph. Louise said, can we please lift Stuart up in prayer at 3 p.m. during the chapel, please? No other message other than that, so let's lift up Stuart. Angel says, please pray for my wife, Drew. She's not feeling well. Andrew says, for my dad, Deacon Bob Ellis, who's being treated now not for one, not for two, but three simultaneous cancers.
Wow.
We pray for a miracle, and if that's not God's will, we pray for the grace to accept his will. Smitty wrote to us and said, my brother-in-law, Greg, who suffered two broken legs and an arm, and in a head-on collision last week.
Wow.
There's going to be a long road of recovery ahead. And then this was just good news, Drew. Christine wrote to us and said, I went to confession for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Revert here. Couldn't have done it without all of the prayers. Thank you, Chaplet family, Christine and Austin.
Wow. Well, lift them up for sure. And thank you for writing to us. And we're just honored to be able to pray for you. That's for sure. Let me just add one as well, if I could here very quickly. This had come in from somebody who's really despondent about her husband. And She said, you know, that my husband's 58 years old. He was let go. I guess he was denied from his employment at Disneyland. He had applied for a religious exemption, and they let him go. He worked 15 years as a top producer in the photography department for Disney. He lost his job because he didn't take the vaccine. And she goes, you know, we know there's a possibility. We just left it to God. Now he's having trouble getting a new job. He's growing dejected. He's 58. You know, there's ageism out there. So would you pray for a field for him to enter? She wrote this to me, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. I got a follow-up today. She says, Drew, thanks for your previous prayers for my husband. The news today is that my husband applied for a job. He's taken an aptitude test for the position where he scored impressively well in his first interview. This is going to be a big career change for him. It's a totally new position. But my hubby is very interested in doing it. And the guy set up a second interview for him today, November 28th. It's going to be on Zoom. Would you please ask everybody to pray that God's will in directing my husband in his future vocation will be done? We certainly will, Kelly. I'm going to pray that your husband right now has intelligence and eloquence and charisma and everything he needs for this job. And especially if it's God's will that he'll shine and they see the qualities that you see in your husband. So let's add Rosie in here from Black Earth, Wisconsin. We'll get her intention in a prayer third decade. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, and thank you for this beautiful ministry.
Thank you.
I would like to pray for a couple miracles. One for our grandson, who is 17, and he's battling a huge cancerous tumor in his face, in his left cheek.
Wow.
And also our sister-in-law, Lori, and she's battling ovarian cancer. And I want to pray also for all the people battling cancer.
Amen to that. Rosie, thank you for calling. Lord, I give you every one of these intentions, Rosie, just voiced. I unite them to all who are now crying out to you. You heard these intentions, in your mercy answer us, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Alex in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. How's it going?
Hey, pretty good.
I'm calling to pray for my older brother who's been battling drug abuse and alcoholism for a number of years now, and it's really taken a toll on him and on his family and you know, his little kids, and it's just really hard to see.
I'm sorry, Alex. Hang in there, brother. I know exactly what you're going through. I know what it's like, and I just want to pray for your brother. Keep praying. As a brother, I think your prayers have a special efficacy. I know God hears them, just as when spouses pray for one another or parents pray for the children. I think when siblings pray for each other, God, he really has mercy. He hears those prayers. And, you know, trust really is an act of our free will. And when we trust God and we know, Lord, I don't know, my brother might have to hit rock bottom. He might have to do time. He might need to be in rehab a long time. You know, his marriage might go through more difficulty. When we give the Lord permission to act freely according to his will, our trust gives God that freedom to act mercifully. And it will fulfill his plan. He'll bring good out of this situation. I don't have time to share the story right now, but maybe after the chat. But I'll share a story about somebody I know in the same situation you're in. And I just spoke to them over the weekend. Man, what an unbelievable answer to prayer they have been. So God hears these prayers. Lord, we give you addiction and families. And we pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Barbara is praying in New Jersey, the Garden State. Hi, Barbara. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. This is a praise report.
All right,
I had called in last Monday because my brother-in-law's brother had a brain bleed, and it really, he was not in good shape at all. Well, on Wednesday, he woke up, and he was speaking, and now, other than having to go through physical therapy to regain his strength, my brother-in-law says everybody's shocked by his progress, including his doctors.
I love it.
And my brother-in-law is thanking everybody for their prayers. So thank you, everybody.
Hey, Barbara, thank you for calling and giving us that praise report, letting everybody know. And my favorite part of your testimony is even the doctors are amazed. Right? I love when the doctors are saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does to me. And I'm so grateful for God's mercy. Barbara, I want to pray for you and for all of your personal needs. I know you didn't voice anything, but Lord, I ask you to read Barbara's heart and today send her the graces that she needs. I pray for the graces that all who are united with me now in prayer need to grow in holiness, to grow closer to you, to achieve the mission that you have set before them in this life. And I just continue to pray for her brother-in-law. We thank you for healing this brain bleed, and we ask for complete and 100% recovery. Pray for anyone with cognitive trauma or disabilities. And I give you everyone on hold, everyone who has written to us, everyone united to me in prayer right now. I just give you our hearts. And I know you hear my prayers. I am grateful. I turn to you now and I pray, eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Hey, Barbara, do me a favor. Write down that story. Send it to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Lord, we conclude as we pray, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Quibejo, known as Mother of the Word.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always marvel at the titles that Our Lady comes as. You know, here is Our Lady of America or the Immaculate Conception. In Africa, she came as the Mother of the Word. When I come back, I'll share with you just briefly a little bit about a fascinating apparition and some of the special gifts that she gave to you and to me to use. Something I don't talk a whole lot about. I probably should talk more about this other prayer. It's a powerful one. I'll fill you in on it when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
It's called the Lords of Africa. In Quibejo, a small town in southern Rwanda, the Blessed Mother appeared between 1981 and 1989 to three young girls, students at the local high school. The message given in Quibejo resounds around the world. It's an urgent appeal to repentance, conversion, and prayer.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, we talk about missions in life, how God calls us to different tasks, and I think we all have been given a mission. Maybe your mission's to be a mother. Maybe it is, you know, to be a physician, maybe it's a broadcaster, maybe, you know, whatever it is. Maybe there's multiple vocations. But I think God's got a divine plan for you. And wherever you are right now, God's using you, and God will bring good out of that. But you know what? There's a season for everything, right? There's a season in life. And, you know, I look at my own life when I was a young man out of college, thought I'd be doing journalism, broadcasting, and ended up getting into documentary work. And my documentary work brought me to the jungles of Africa, and I was actually at this very place where the Mother of God appeared. And I was talking to a friend of mine today about this because the 28th concludes the 40th anniversary of these apparitions, which really are amazing. And there's a statue of Our Lady Quibejo. She appeared as an African woman. You think, oh, well, the mother's white. Well, is she? She appears in Japan as a Japanese woman, right? She appears in South America, you know, under these many, many different titles. She takes on the ethnicity of whatever the indigenous people are of that particular area. And here she appeared as a gorgeous, beautiful, radiant heavenly being that seers could not describe the beauty of. And there's a statue in St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in Chicago. I know they had they had a mass, I think it was yesterday there. If you had a chance, stop by. Go down and say a prayer. Largest Eucharist, you know, I've ever seen in my life is there. It's right off of 94 if you're ever passing through Illinois. Maybe you're in your car right now driving. And there's a statue of Our Lady Cabejo in there as well. So go there and check it out. But spend time. They have 24-hour adoration there. Spectacular place. Very anointed. But it was on this day back in 1981 when Our Lady began appearing in this little African village. And the Virgin showed children future events. And there were seven main seers in all before the visions ended. Three have met with full church approval. That was announced in 2001. After the Holy See looked into this for about two decades. So this is a legit apparition. But during the apparition, the Blessed Mother, she spoke of the rise of materialism in the world. She spoke of the loss of purity in the world and what would happen. After speaking of this, we saw this AIDS epidemic. She spoke of strange new viruses that would soon spread. She foretold a future events that would come, and she showed the seers there a bloody future. Rivers flowing with blood, you know, aisles of churches flowing with blood, people without their heads on. Just absolutely, there was this decapitation. The Hutus would go, and they would literally cut off the heads of the Tutsis. Immaculate Ilabigiza, who wrote a book called Left to Tell. It's a New York Times bestselling book. Absolute great read, right? She said she was hunted by these Hutus. They had these machetes and they were ready to kill. And I was there before the genocide. Genocide took place in 94. I was there in 89 for the last apparition of the Blessed Mother. And I remember when the Blessed Mother, she had told Alphonsine Momoriki, that was the sole remaining seer, that she would come on November 28th, the year would be 1989. And she had no vision the entire year to this last vision. And Alphonsine prayed and prayed. And the Blessed Mother said she'd come in the noon hour. So it was noon. I was there with a film crew and people from all over Rwanda, 50,000 people made their way to this apparition because I came from the States and I had press credentials. I was able to get in. I was right next to the seer. And I think it was really God's providence. God wanted me there. And I remember as the vision began, Alphonsine began praying the rosary, right? She kept praying the rosary over and over again. All of a sudden, she started to cry. I noticed this look of fear and apprehension and sadness wash over her as tears rolled down her face. And halfway through the second rosary, all of a sudden, her head snaps to the side. She drops to her knees, and her head snaps back. Her eyes bulge wide, and then her face changes. It suddenly becomes absolutely radiant. She's filled with an interior joy that just pours forth from within her. And she's having an encounter with the Mother of God. The Mother of Jesus Christ was right there in front of her, right next to where I stood, right? She was there pouring forth these graces on the seer. And she gave her a message. When the vision ended, you know, she was exhausted. She took a few moments of rest. And later that afternoon, my film crew and I, we interviewed her. And we asked her, what was going on? Why were you so apprehensive? Why were you so sad? She says, I thought I was a bad girl. I thought the Blessed Mother was not going to come, and that's why I was so sad. But the second she came, all of that sadness left. And there, she had this incredible encounter with the Blessed Mother. In Rwanda, these visions were accompanied by a plethora of unexplained phenomena, including like solar activity. The sun would spin, and there would be all sorts of incredible, incredible just phenomena that surrounded it. But the Virgin warned him. She says, my child, you got to pray for the world because the world is in a horrible way. People have turned from God. They've rejected my son. They've rejected the love of my son, Jesus. And she said, so many souls are running to ruin. She says, I need your help. Need your help to bring them back to my son. And if you'll work with me, I shall give you a mission to lead these lost souls back from darkness because the world is in a bad way. My child, she says, you will suffer. So if you accept this mission, you must also accept all the suffering. But I will send you with this joy and love and patience. And it goes back to what I spoke about before we began the chaplet, right? God gives us all opportunities to serve him, gives us grace, right? We have hardships. Maybe a colleague of ours is irritating us. Maybe it's the arthritis that's bringing us down. Maybe it's the problem in the relationship, whatever it might be, right? Maybe it's that cantankerous neighbor or the priest that's bothering you, whatever it might be. If God has a mission for you to evangelize, to serve life, to be a witness in the hospital, to whatever it might be, He'll give you the grace. You can say no. You have free will. God will respect that. That grace will go to somebody else. I'm grateful that the seers, Marie-Claire Mukungango and Alphonsine Mumariki and Emmanuel Segastasha and all of these different seers, Salim Salima, they all said yes to God. There's a consistent theme in these messages in Kibeho, Rwanda. And as you heard in that piece that Maggie ran in the very beginning, it's a call to penance. And it's a call to reparation for the sin that is in the world. Our sin is so deeply offending God. You know, the Virgin Mary in Akita said, the loss of souls is the cause of my sadness. There was a statue there in 1973 that wept 101 times, and a young nun witnessed this. Our Lady re-echoed this in Kibeho. She says, the world is offending God, and the loss of so many souls is the cause of my sadness. Fatima, she showed the children souls in hell. Look, hell exists. You know, and your ticket to hell is your sin. It's as simple as that. You know, your ticket to heaven is detachment from that sin. And it's as simple as that. I see this parallel to the Fatima vision and to Our Lady's request in Kibeho. What is she asking? Fatima is saying it was prayer and penance. It was a rosary and penance, right? Willfully, joyfully offering our suffering for the sins of others without complaint. Maybe that child of yours is living in an impure way, right? Bad relationship. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's you. Prayer and sacrifice, penance, I'm telling you, it's so powerful we underestimate the efficacy, the power behind this. It amplifies our prayer. God's heart is moved by it. So the Virgin came to teach the seers there to pray. And she says this, the most powerful prayer you can pray is the prayer that comes from your heart. It's not how many rosaries you pray, how mindlessly you say them, right? It's not how many hours you sit in adoration if you're surfing your phone and you're not praying. Prayer comes from the heart. That's where true prayer resides. That's where miracles happen. When you pray deep within the soul, when you open your heart to God, she says, Nathalie Mozamansabaka said that the Virgin came to teach us to pray. That was really the essence of this message. And she says it becomes most powerful when you pray from your heart. And she says, make frequent use of confession. Confession. Because God sees everything, even those things that are hidden in our heart. I've got to take a break. I wish I could talk to you more. I was going to spend another segment just sharing with you this fascinating vision because of the things she talked about. The kids had visions of heaven, hell, and purgatory, like Faustina. They were taking on mystical journeys. There would be a sign in the sky, very similar to what St. Faustina had seen. There was talk about the return of Jesus Christ, very similar to what Faustina wrote and what Maria Esperanza had to say in South America. I mean, it's fascinating. This apparition received approval, 10 years of investigation. It's an amazing one. Today we celebrate the anniversary of Our Lady, the Mother of the Word, who came in this tiny landlocked country to warn the people of what loomed, and a bloody genocide loomed, the worst genocide in modern history. You know, 1 million people were massacred, 800,000 to 1 million, 2.1 fled to neighboring countries there. And Our Lady says this is really a warning, not just for Rwanda, but for the world. Check it out, okay? I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, I do want to talk to you about another area that is suffering great persecution. Maybe you can offer a sacrifice for the people of China. They live under totalitarianism, very oppressive rule, communism. And people are now rebelling. China is facing massive protests or even calling for they're calling for Xi Jinping to step down. When we come back, we'll speak to the former prime minister of East Turkestan in exile, Salih Hudayor. That conversation and more straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, mass protests in China where fed-up residents are finally fighting back, taking apart barriers in the streets. That's some of the audio you heard, the shouts, the destruction. They've been shouting, it started in Wuhan, it ends in Wuhan. Wow. You know, that is a prison sentence, maybe even a death sentence for some. You don't know what looms in their future. And it'll be interesting to see how China responds to this. There's a lot happening there right now. Hard to know where to start. I'm going to start first with Cardinal Zen, who was convicted last week of being part of a group of people that set up a special fund in Hong Kong for providing for protesters who had been arrested as part of those demonstrations against the Chinese takeover. He and his co-workers were found guilty of failing to properly register their fund with the government. They were fined just a little more than $500. No jail time was involved, but that's the cardinal. China is in turmoil right now over in the mainland. Xi Jinping has imposed lockdowns on several cities around the country, including Beijing and Wuhan. He says because of COVID. What do they know about COVID that we don't, right? Why are they locking down that country? He is serious as a heart attack when it comes to COVID. They're locking everything down. Xi's idea is that a lockdown will stop the spread. We know that it doesn't, but I still remember those haunting videos of people in Wuhan yelling out their windows of their high-rise apartments after the first lockdown went into effect because they literally couldn't go anywhere. Some of them even had their doors shut. I mean, I saw pictures of people committing suicide, jumping from their buildings. It was horrible. Chinese government hasn't stopped. Images are now leaking out of quarantine camps being built around the country with as many as 90,000 isolation pods in them. 2 years later after COVID has began, Chinese people have had it. Protests are breaking out right now all over the country, in Shanghai and Beijing. Even in Wuhan as well, and even at universities. But the Chinese government is discriminating against non-Chinese citizens over in what's known as Zhejiang. The government announced on Saturday that it would ease so-called zero COVID policy restrictions to appease some of the protesters, but the government continues to lock down the Uyghurs in East Turkestan. And it's good to have with me today the former, the prime minister of East Turkestan, I should say, in exile, Salih Hudayar. And he joins us today to give us an update on what's happening. Prime Minister, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be back.
I am delighted. I understand a fire broke out on Saturday in one of the Uyghur-dominated apartment buildings, quickly spread throughout the building. The government reporting 10 people died. But hospitals said 44 people, 44 Uyghurs have died. I'm so sorry to hear about the deaths of your fellow countrymen. What was the government's response to this fire? And maybe you can unpack for us what's now unfolding there in the country.
Yes, the fire broke out last Thursday night, November 24th, in the predominantly Uyghur building in the Uyghur part of the town of Urumqi. Unfortunately, it took 3 hours for the government to respond, and because it took them 3 hours to respond and put out the fire, we have at least, nearly four dozen Uyghurs who have died as a result of that. But the Chinese government, instead of, you know, taking the fault, it instead shamelessly tries to blame it on the people for not being able to escape. Despite the fact that they have been locked, bolted in, in their apartment,
burned alive,
prevented from leaving. Wow. This sparked demonstrations across China against the COVID lockdowns. But despite that, the Chinese government, as of today, they still state that they're going to continue maintaining their official COVID policy.
Well, why is that? I mean, Xi Jinping and the government, I'm assuming, thinks, hey, this is going to stop the spread of it. We know that that's not necessarily the case. It raises questions for me. I'm thinking, is there more? Do they know more about the science of COVID than maybe we do? What is it that's so threatening that they decide to lock their people down? I saw video just an hour ago of a map of China, and from east to west, north to south, there are protests now. People fed up, having enough. I know they're trying to shut the internet down over there too, so they won't have access to some of this imagery. But what is it about COVID that has them with such restrictive policies? And are we now seeing a breaking point for the Chinese people?
I don't think it particularly has much to do with COVID in itself. I think it's the fact that Xi Jinping, who has now essentially secured himself a third term and possibly dictator for life, is fearful that, you know, certain segments of the Chinese population will, seek to overthrow him or, you know, push back against him. So they're trying to prevent people, you know, from organizing by, you know, locking them up in you know, their homes under so-called zero COVID restrictions. In East Turkestan, this is being, you know, used as a perfect cover for the Chinese government to continue its ongoing genocide of Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples, continue to mass intern them in prisons and concentration camps and enslave them in you know, forced labor camps, while, you know, putting this show that it's all this restrictions while people can't travel or do anything, while no one can travel into this region, is because they have the zero COVID lockdown.
I saw an article today, and it gave me a warning before I went into the site, and it said, you know, there's some graphic sexual descriptions in this, and what it said is that over in China now, people are being arrested for their protests, and then there are all sorts of rapes that are taking place. I know this happens with the Uyghur people many, many times. What's currently happening now, and are we at a point where this might threaten Xi Jinping's power?
I think the demonstrations, as we have seen it for the past few days, I mean, it's unprecedented since Tiananmen to have such massive demonstrations taking out across China. Of course, we don't think this can happen without, you know, some tacit support, if not, you know, approval by certain, at least regional officials, if not senior officials within the Communist Party who are, at odds with Xi. And I think it's them sending a message to Xi to cut it out, because Xi has become extremely paranoid, and the zero COVID lockdown has made it to where, you know, people can't work. Chinese companies are losing, you know, money. They're not able to operate efficiently. And it's having a lot of negative economic impact, to where it's impacting even, you know, senior Chinese elites. And I think they're the ones who are, you know, letting this demonstration, continue. Hmm. And even some you know, officials, local officials are, you know, listening to the demands of protesters. But as of now, we just heard that, you know, the Chinese military has been sent to Shanghai. So we don't know how it's going to turn out.
So how do you think this ends? How do you think this wraps up? We got military intervention over there. I mean, it's all over the country right now. What do you think? How does this play out?
Well, you have, you know, protesters in Shanghai who called, you know, unlike other areas, they openly called for this Chinese Communist Party to step down. And it looks like what we are now seeing, the Chinese military has been deployed to Shanghai. So it could, you know, be brutally suppressed, like the Tiananmen Square massacre, or, you know, the Chinese people, if officials within the Chinese Communist Party that are at odds with Xi Jinping, they say, hey, we're not going to stand for this. Yeah. They might just topple him.
Well, look, I only have about a moment left. I want to make sure I help support and promote your efforts. I know people can find more by going to east-turkestan.net or nationalawakening.org. Did I get your websites correct?
Yes.
Well, good. I hope everyone will check them out, get behind your efforts, especially pray for you. Keep up your good work, Prime Minister. We'll talk again, okay? I'm grateful for you making time for me today.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. That is Salih Hudayor. He is the Prime Minister of East Turkestan in exile. Stay with me. I'm back with more right after this.